when we talk about Rosh Hashanah, we find a very fascinating line that we have in our Yontif davening, in each one of the davenings. We speak about, this is source one, Ata b'chartanu mikol ha'amim, that Hashem has chosen us from all the other nations, Ahavta otanu v'ratzita banu, He found favor, He's in from the Ribono Shalom, He's elevated us. And then we enter into the focus of the day. And the way we enter the focus of the day, Ata b'chartanu is universal to all Yontif, we say, Vatitein lanu Hashem Elokeinu, and Hashem has given us ba'ahava, with love, et Yom HaZikaron Hazeh, this day of remembrance. Rosh Hashanah is referred to as a Yom HaZikaron, a day of remembrance. Yom Truah Mikra Kodesh, it's a day of Truah, a day of Shofar Blast, Mikra Kodesh, it's a holy convocation to Hashem. Zecher L'Yitziat Mitzrayim, it's a day that recalls the Exodus from Egypt. So, when we look at this paragraph, we raise the obvious question. We describe Rosh Hashanah, like all the festivals, as Zecher L'Yitziat Mitzrayim, source number 4, a memorial of the Exodus from Egypt. So we can understand why Pesach or even Sukkot is a memorial of Yitziat Mitzrayim. But what connection do Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur have with Yitziat Mitzrayim? Ma'inyan Yitziat Mitzrayim, Mechto Rosh Hashanah. Right? As Rav Masasyahu says in source number 2. What's the connection? And it makes absolutely no sense. Because Yitziat Mitzrayim happened a few thousand years after Bris Olam. Rosh Hashanah is a remembrance, a Yom HaZikaron, the remembrance of the Yom Tchila, the beginning of the creation of Adam, of mankind. Right? So if Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the year, the day when Adam HaRishon was created, and that's the focus of Rosh Hashanah, and Yitziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus of Egypt, happened many years later. So how can I say, it doesn't even fit time-wise, that Rosh Hashanah is Zecher L'Yitziat Mitzrayim? And then second, what's the connection between the two? Rosh Hashanah is about creation of man, about God judging the world. Yitziat Mitzrayim, we know, Pesach is out leaving Egypt. There's no connection between the two. So what do we think about when we say in Kiddush, in our davening, Zecher L'Yitziat Mitzrayim, what should be going through our head? And the answer to this question, which we'll look at on three levels, will give us an insight into the essence of what Rosh Hashanah is about, not only a deeper appreciation of understanding this line, but really of what the whole Yontif of Rosh Hashanah is about, the Exodus examined. The second question that we have that we'll touch on also in Mirtz Hashem on all three levels is a much smaller question, but equally as profound. And that is on the simanim. At the night of Rosh Hashanah, we eat simanim, these special foods. So by the pomegranates and the rubia, we recite a supplication to source number 3, that our merit should increase. This request is puzzling, however, as a person's merits depend on his action. If he performs good deeds, he amasses merit. How then can we ask that our merits increase? And the same question is asked by the one line in Avinu Malkeinu, or shortest line in Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu katvenu b'sefer zchuyos, write us in the book of merits. Well, either we deserve to be written in the book of merits or we don't. How can you ask for something if you don't deserve it? Like a student asking a teacher, write me for an A. Well, either you deserve an A or you don't. Write me in the book of merits. Either I deserve it or I don't. What does it mean that our merits increase? I do mitzvahs, my merits increase. I don't do mitzvahs, my merits don't increase. So the same question is by Avinu Malkeinu, is by the Simanim, and that will be our secondary question that we'll touch on, just to give us a little bit of a deeper understanding when we do the Simanim and Avinu Malkeinu, to focus us what to have in mind. Again, the primary question is, what's the connection between Yitziat Mitzrayim and Rosh Hashanah? I'll make mention of two answers before looking into the three that we're going to look at deeply. These answers come from a very, very, very special sefer. It's a sefer published by Art Scroll. It's called Rav Druk on Machzer. Rav Yisrael Meir Druk was a famous magid. His father, Rav Moshe Mordechai Druk, Darash Mordechai, we've used extensively. Rabbi Shlomo Meir Druck is Eish Tamid, which we use extensively. It's a very, very sweet sefer in English. It goes through not only different parts of Rosh Hashanah davening, it has a whole chapter on the Simanim at night. It also goes through the Piyutim as well to understand it more deeply. So anyone who wants to go through the Rosh Hashanah Machzor in a very, very sweet, short ideas, this is a very, very special sefer, Rav Druck, on the Machzor. So he says, we describe Rosh Hashanah and all the festivals as Mikra Kodesh, a holy convocation. That Hashem's appointed festivals that you are to designate as holy convocations, these are my appointed festivals. And the term used to refer to all the festivals, but what does it mean? We can suggest that on all the festivals, and Rosh Hashanah specifically, we're called upon to sanctify Hashem's name, and that's the meaning of the term Mikra Kodesh, a holy convocation. It was for this purpose of sanctifying Hashem's name that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Why did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim? It's for the purpose, and this is what Rosh Hashanah is about, of V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, ani Hashem mikadishchem, hamotzi etchem eretz Yisrayim. I should be sanctified among the children of Israel. I am Hashem who sanctifies you, who took you out of the land of Egypt. When we say Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, is a memorial of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, we don't mean that this day was given to us because of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but rather through Yitzhak Mitzrayim, we were called upon to sanctify Hashem's name at all times. And the festivals are the most auspicious and favorable times to do that. And that's why if you examine the phrase closely, we'll notice that it's not actually Rosh Hashanah that's called the memorial of Yetziat Mitzrayim, but rather the Mikra Kodesh, the holy convocation, is the memorial of Yetziat Mitzrayim, and the memorials that we're called upon to sanctify Hashem's name. That gets us up all the problems. Obviously, Yetziat Mitzrayim and Rosh Hashanah aren't connected. No! It's Yom Teruah Mikra Kodesh, Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim. The Mikra Kodesh, the holy convocation, is a Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim. That Hashem took us out of Egypt to be able to sanctify His name. That solves that problem. We can finish the Shir right here and now, except we have a lot to learn and a lot to grow. And except that it would seem that the Yom Teruah Mikra Kodesh, the Yom Teruah is a Mikra Kodesh, but the Yom Teruah is Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim, which gets us back to our original question. He then quotes from Avigdor Nevenzal Shlita that there were two momentous events that transpired in Rosh Hashanah, Source 5. Yosef was freed from prison, and the Jewish people stopped having to perform slave labor. These events laid the groundwork for the Exodus. And as the Gra points out, blow the shofar at the moon's renewal at the time appointed for a festive day, because it's a decree for Israel, judgment day for the God of Yaakov. He appointed it as a testimony for Yosef when he went out over the land of Egypt. These verses describe the kindness that Hashem did for Jewish people in Rosh Hashanah, and we recall those kindnesses when we refer to Rosh Hashanah Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim. Our prayer is that Hashem should decree favorable judgments upon us every year, like those described in the above verses. So, since there were kindnesses that were done in Egypt on Rosh Hashanah, we ask Hashem to likewise be able to give us kindnesses and judge us favorably on our Rosh Hashanah as well. Okay, that, my friends, ends the questions, the introduction. Now we're going to take a look at three levels and hopefully come away with some very, very profound insights on Rosh Hashanah. Let's preface the first level with a beautiful idea we've seen before from Rabbi Soseski in an old journal called Jewish Thought. He speaks about the two paths lead to repentance. One is individualistic, the other is universal. The individualistic path focuses on man, disappointed with himself. He stands alone, implores God to pardon his sins, and that's the day of Yom Kippur. The alternate path to tshuva differs dramatically. Here the focus is not on man, but on God. Rather than seeking the Almighty through the burden of his sins, man thinks beyond himself. Here's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. On that day that commemorates the creation of man, he contemplates God's role in history and destiny of mankind, awestruck by the magnitude of God's role, not as a creator, but it's a prime mover in human affairs. And that focus allows a person to introspect on where they are. 5-6b, on Yom Kippur, man discovers himself and in the process discovers God. On Rosh Hashanah, man discovers God, thereby discovering himself. And the focus, we know, on Rosh Hashanah is on Malchios, is on discovering of Hashem. Let's now enter into the first level. Siftei Chaim, Rav Friedlander, what is the major motif of Rosh Hashanah? And these are ideas we've discussed before, and we'll discuss again in Mirtz Hashem Abiyas Goel, because this is the foundation of what Rosh Hashanah is about. We know that Rosh Hashanah is about the word Melech. The word Melech, king, appears over and over again. The theme of Malchus Hashem, V'tim lo chata Hashem levadcha kol masecha, that Hashem should rule over the world, over all of his creations. We end the bracha of HaMelech HaKadosh, the Holy King. The Birkas Kedushas Hayom is all about Meloch HaKol Olam Kulo B'Chodecha, that Hashem should rule over with all of his glory. Continuing, source 7, V'yomar Kol Sher Neshama Bapo, everyone who has breath in their life should say Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech U'machuso B'chol Mashallah, that Hashem rules over the entire creation. And indeed, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Tevav Amar Aleph tells us, Imru Lefanai Malchios, say in front of me the Psukim of Malchios, Kedei Shetamlichuni Aleichem, that we should become king, that we should make Hashem king over us. We learn She'ein Anu Yotzim Yidei Chava Yidei Amira Ba'alma. It's not just saying it, but the Psukim of Malchios, the Bracha, has to bring us to Hamlachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleinu, has to bring us to making Hashem king over us. What is the theme of Rosh Hashanah? Clearly the theme is the focus on, not on us as much as on the Ribono Shel Olam, that He is the ruler, He is the one in charge. Where do we come into this picture if it's all about the Ribono Shel Olam? So continue the Siftei Chaim in source number 8. We know that in our davening, the Chazal referred to this day as Tchilat Ma'asecha, the beginning of your handiwork. So the Ramchal explains, Hine b'yom zeh, double squiggly in 8, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dan et kol olam kolo. Today is a Yom HaZikaron, a day of remembrance. It's a Yom HaDin, a day of judgment. And Hashem judges the whole world, u'mechadesh kol ha'metziyut b'vchinat ha'tzivuv ha'chadash, and sets into motion a whole new year with all that it entails. It's a new, it's chilat masecha, the beginning of your work. It's brand new, a new, a whole new. The Kabbalistic Sfarim say that every Erev Rosh Hashanah of the world is destroyed and recreated anew. And the din on this day is, Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mechadesh HaKol Metziyot Baofen Kazeh Shelo Haya Adayin L'Olamin. There's something brand new going on here. Kein Brios Olam B'Madura Chadashah. It's like a recreation of the world. Kishem Sheba Aleph Tishrei B'Nivra Olam. Just like on the first day of Tishrei, man was created. Every year, Hashem recreates the world again. Hayom Haras Olam. It's a brand new world. What does this mean? So Kol HaNivraim in the asterisk in 8, Mikablim B'Yom Zeh Tafkidim Chadashim Mitoch HaSivuv HaChadash. Everyone gets a new job, a new role, a new, all the aspects that one will need, all the kishronos, all the abilities, all the help, all the people, all the, you know, ancillary things in life to be able to do our role. It would be similar to, you know, a company or wherever you work gets together at the end of the year and they say, okay, we're now redesigning this workplace. And now we're giving out new roles, new jobs, new desks, new computers, new programs for every person to be able to do their part in whatever the job is, whatever the situation is. That's what happens in Rosh Hashanah. What you did last year was very nice. Now you are given new opportunities, new challenges, new abilities, new circumstances to be able to do your job. What is our job? So clearly our job is, and this is source 9, Shigaleh Machuto Legamrei Ba'olam, our job is to create a world of godliness in this world. So the original creation of the world, that's why it's a Zikaron, it's a remembrance of the original creation. The original creation of the world was totally bechesed, with kindness, because there was no man to judge. Now it's bedin. Every person is judged. Did you live up to your potential last year? Did you utilize all that you were given to be the best Eved Hashem you could be? If you did, then you will continue to have those kalim and or be granted other kalim to be able to expand your repertoire if that is what your new job is or it is to continue in what you are doing. So again, we make a mistake when we think of job. We immediately, you know, move into, you know, the job that pays me money. And job is equal to my work. Job is my misima, my purpose in this world. And that's really at every single moment. Hashem made me, let's say, because this is not true, Hashem made me a very sympathetic and empathic person. So that's the way Hashem wired me. And He then gives me situations in life where people call me and they knock on my door. That may be true. And they ask, you know, for my advice and my help. And to the extent that every time I'm able to answer and I'm sympathetic and I'm empathic, I create godliness in this world. And Hashem sees that indeed I'm embracing all of these opportunities, so then He will continue to give me this level of patience and empathy and sympathy that I can continue to be able to help people out. Not because I'm a therapist and I get paid for this amount of time. No, it's because this is my calling as the way I am wired as this type of person. This is where Hashem has put me in this world. And all of us have certain kochos ha-nefesh, have certain strengths that make us more, with a greater ability to fill in the blank. And each of these encounters that we have enable us to create kvod shamayim in this world. And we are judged on how much of us have we been able to bring to the fore and be able to use fully with all the gifts that Hashem has granted us. And that is why, as the Shvili Pinchas points out in sources 10a, 10b, and 10c, the question that we should be able to hear in the Tekiyah Shofar is one question. It was the question that Adam HaRishon was asked on the day of Rosh Hashanah. And it's a four-word question. And that four-letter question, and that is, Ayeka, where are you? I created you with such potential. I created you as the highest of the high. What happened to you? Where did you fall? Where did you go? That's the question that's asked of us on Rosh Hashanah, where the Ribono Shel Olam is the Melech, He's the King, He's the center of our focus. And when I realize that Ribono Shel Olam is the center of the focus, then I reflect back on myself. Well, am I as an individual serving Him in the way that He has wired me to do so? Am I taking the opportunities? Did I take the opportunities that Ribono Shel Olam granted me, and have I utilized them to the fullest? Am I a person who's meeting up to the challenges that Hashem has given me, that I can be able to coronate the Ribono Shel Olam called Sad Vishal at every step of the way, because L'kach Notzarti, that's why I was created. Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaDin, is the day to ask ourselves, where am I? Where am I holding? And that's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. It's not a tshuva of what I've done wrong. It's a tshuva of much more bekesel Yom Chageinu, as the Rav says, in the world of kisui, in the concealed world. Am I being the best I can be? And hence, he brings in source number 11, this should resonate with us when we hear the Tekiyah Shofar. The Tekiyah sound, that pure sound, is the sound of the perfection of the way the Ribono Shel Olam has created us as untainted and pure. And then you have the shvarim trura, the broken sounds. Those are the sins. Those are the missing the mark. That's what chet literally means. To miss the mark, where I haven't lived up to my potential. I've broken down. It's not as smooth as it should be. But then Ribbono Shel Olam reminds me, there's a tekiah always at the end. We can come back. And the yearning and the tekiah shofar is to remind myself of the way the Ribbono Shel Olam has invested in me, Rab Emunasecha, how much he's given me. Shvarim Trua is the tshuva of how much I have missed the mark and broken that which Hashem has given me. And the tekiah is that yearning of trying to go back to that purity of spirit, to be able to utilize all the Ribbono Shel Olam has given me, to be able to coronate him as king. And hence, Rav Brazil notes in source number 12 that a person shouldn't say, and this is something we all fall into, that, you know, Hashem, if you would just give me, right? When a person says in the double squiggly note 12, Im hayali kisharon kaseh, if you would just give me this certain ability, I would have so much more menuchas nefesh, I could serve you so better. And if I would have this, he quotes the Chovos of Avos, Ki heim divrei chzavim, yit'eh mishit le'atzmo bahem, v'yipol mishinishan aleim. This is lies that people fall into. These are just excuses, and that creates more problems. Kol od sh'adam eino omed al yisod zeh, she'kol hatzlacha tluya rak bo, ve'eina tluya bekelim, azai hu machshil et atzmo. We have to realize that Hashem gives us exactly what we need, not more, not less. Sometimes when we think if we have more, we'll be better off, we're far worse off, because then there's a greater accountability. Why haven't we used all that Hashem has given us? The challenge, and this is what Elul is about, is that introspection, to ask myself, well, what are the qualities that Hashem has given me? What is my makeup? Am I utilizing all that Hashem has given me? Because we're all an array of different things. So someone can be empathic and sympathetic, and with that empathy and sympathy, they also have a great sense of humor, that they're able to, you know, make people laugh and make people feel good about themselves. And there's a whole combination. It's arrays of colors. And that's the beauty of how every person is wired. And that special touch has the ability to fill in a void that nobody else has, because no one has those exact combination of kochos hanefesh. And this we've done before, says Rav Brazil, in source number 13, is the deeper understanding of ayeka. Ayeka can be made up of two words, ayei kaf, aleph yud hey, and kaf. Those are the four letters of ayeka. Where is your kaf yad? We all know on our hand we have the lines that are unique for every person, right? Palm readers read the palms of the hand. Every person is unique. So, ayei kaf, where is your kaf yad? Why didn't you look down at what I'd given you instead of trying to be seduced by the serpent that if you would just have, then you would be? My friends, this accountability for who we are and what we do is what Rosh Hashanah is about. It's opening the ledgers and looking at every single situation in life. It's almost like two screens, what you did and what you should have done. And the disparity between the two is what the Yom HaDin is about. And again, it's on every single encounter in detail in our life. How you said this bracha, how you should have said this bracha. How you opened the door for somebody, how you should have. How you passed by this person, how you ignored this person, how you smiled at this person. Every step of our lives. But it goes even deeper than that. The Sifti Chaim in Zichronos, based on the Ramchal, speaks about the opening paragraph. And again, we've done this many times before, but it gives us at the same time a deeper understanding of our Yantif davening. It begins with Ata Zocher Maisa Olam. You remember the deeds performed in the world, which relates to the past. Ata Zocher Kol HaMif'al. You remember all that is made. This is verse 14, which involves the present. Hakol galui v'yadur lefanecha, all is revealed and known before you, which relates to the future. Why is Rosh Hashanah about the past, present, and future? So we should understand that it's incumbent upon every Jewish person to strive for his perfection. Aside from this individual responsibility, the general community of Klal Yisrael is duty-bound to rectify the entire creation. It's like one whole structure which is constructed and assembled from many stones. Every Jew has his own part, his own stone, in the erection of this perfect building. It follows, therefore, that the perfection of the building, which is being built upon, built by all the generations, depends on each individual builder. Every single deed of each individual person is judged, watch this, according to its impact upon the past. In other words, the deed is judged to what degree it successfully continues and completes the avodah of the forefathers and previous generations, or, God forbid, to what degree it has damaged it. And it's also looking into the future. He reflects upon the future as well when judging the present. It's in order to ascertain to what extent each deed of each individual constitutes another step toward the eventual completion of the goal in the chain of the redemption. And the blessings of Chronos, our stages, show us the heavy responsibility carried by each and every one of us beyond the individual scope, and the duty to fulfill our Vodas Hashem with each action that has the ability to hasten the redemption. And that is the idea that Hashem remembers the entire work, Atav Zocher Kol HaMifal, B'Skira Achas, in one glance, looking at us as part of the whole entity. The Gam Kol Yitzur Lo Nicham Imecha, no creature is hidden from you, relates how Hashem judges each Jew individually. Every Jewish person has his own personal task for which he is held accountable. My friends, this is so intense, I don't know how we're still sitting. Every single thing we do is being judged, being measured. How is it impacting the Jewish people as a whole from the beginning of time to the end of time? Imagine a building where every stone is built so perfectly, and your stone is jutting out, and the entire building is in danger because of your stone isn't put in properly. OMG, you feel a certain responsibility. And that, it just, not only is it bad for the past of the building, the whole future building is going to be in danger because of your stone, of your actions, of what you've done, as well as individually. You have a certain expectation that the Ribbono Shel Olam has put on you, and you have to see whether you've met up with that expectation or not. And that's the judgment, as Rav Chaim Volozhin says, Shekharish Baruch Hu in 17, Mevin et Hashlachot Maaseim Arechan Megiim. Hashem understands the impact of every single one of our actions. What did they accomplish? What was the effect of what they did? You said something. What was the impact of what you said? On who was that impact? All of this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam knows. And that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam is described, Hayotzer Yachad Libam HaMevin El Kol Maaseihem. The Ribbono Shel Olam forms our heart, HaMevin El Kol Maaseihem. He understands the implication of every single thing we do. So the focus of Rosh Hashanah is Malchios, to be Mamlech Hashem as King. What does that mean for us? It means that recognition that the Ribbono Shel Olam is totally, thoroughly, the being that's in charge of this world and is in charge of judging every single one of our actions. Is it fitting into the modus operandi that he has envisioned for this world? Are we living up to the expectation he has for us individually and collectively? Every single action, thought, deed, speech is being weighed and judged. This realization, Zichronos, Yom HaZikaron, the day of remembrance, this realization that we are talking about. Vatiti lano Hashem lokeinu ba'aved yom hazikaron hazeh. Stop! You can't go on in davening. Yom hazikaron hazeh, we should burst out crying. OMG, we are in big trouble. Every single thing we've done, everything, every thought, every action, every speech, Yom HaZikaron HaZeh, the enormity, intensity of this that Hashem is watching and judging and seeing the implications collectively and individually on every single thing we've done from the beginning of time till the end of time, you can't go on and davening. Yom HaZikaron HaZeh, that understanding, that realization, that axiom is learned from Yetziat Mitzrayim. And that brings us to the answer on the first level of Matnat Chaim. The Orchot Chaim Larash, source number 18, at the end of his writings, end of Mesotra of the Yom HaRishon, writes, Liftoach b'Hashem, to have faith in Hashem, ulamim b'hashkachato pratit, and to believe in His divine providence, ubezet titkayem b'levavcha hayichud Hashalem, and that will bring with you the unity and oneness of Hashem. Bamimo, when you believe, ke'enam mishototo b'chol ha'aretz ve'inyanav, ha'kol darcheish, that Hashem's eyes, kivyochel, are watching every single thing we do, u'bochein lev v'choker klayot, and He investigates our heart and our deepest desires, ki mi she'no mamim b'asher oseticha meretz Yisrayim, af panochi Hashem lukecha eino mamim. Where we get this, anochi Hashem lukecha, to believe in God, is we saw this from Yetziat Mitzrayim. The upshot of Yetziat Mitzrayim was that Hashem is intimately involved and is watching every part of our lives. That is the message, says the Orchos Chaim Larash, that we gain from all the different philosophical ideas of Yetziat Mitzrayim. The one that we should take away with in our relationship with Emunah and Hashem is that Hashem is watching over every single one of our actions, right? The Egyptian is drinking blood and the Jew is drinking water. Hashem is watching over every bechor. Kashir ani yoshim b'lo Pesach u'mekayim kol mitzvot ha'layla. So on Pesach, when I do all of these things and I speak about all of these concepts, they're all in theory. It's very nice. Hashem's involved and we do very nice. But when do we see kama lamada adam v'kama yishpia lav limudze? How do I know how much it really impacted him? When do we see a person who's mekayeng v'chayet limudze? When do we see us living this message of Yetziat Mitzrayim? That I understand that we have accountability for everything that we do. That every action is being watched by Hashem. When does this become real in my life that I have to live by it and take responsibility for it? That's Rosh Hashanah. And that's why, to a certain degree, Rosh Hashanah is a greater Zechid Mitzrayim than even Pesach is. Because Pesach is the theory. Rosh Hashanah is the practice. Rosh Hashanah is a realization that we are held accountable for every single thing that we do. And walking into Rosh Hashanah, the preparation, and that's the tshuva, where we go through, what have I done wrong? And I try to rectify it so that I can edit the film. You want that film edited, that book edited, before, you know, anyone who takes out a book, you know. How many times, I can tell you, every comma was weighed, and every period was weighed, and every word was weighed. Does this word have a certain connotation? What is this a proper connotation? Right? Read through Arise and Aspire, and you read through it, and you say it's very nice, because Hashachar, you have no idea of every single word. Comma, periods were thought through, were changed. This is, so it looks presentable. And the layout, how many times it went through changes. So it looks presentable. Now, that's just a book. Can you imagine the book of our lives? There are certain things I do not want written in that book. There are certain things that I want to be taken out. And that's what the tshuva is about. Before I stand on Yom HaZikaron, where every single thing is brought to the fore. When I understand the accountability and responsibility of one's actions, it helps me appreciate this as just a side thought. That on the night of Pesach, we have a head of a fish Yiratzon Sheniyeh L'Rosh V'lo L'Zanav, and we say, may you be your will that we be as the head and not as the tail. We know by the simanim it's not necessary to actually eat it, even to have it on the table and point to it. Some of the foods, you have problems checking for bugs, that's sufficient, that the simanim are the idea of the Yaivitz in 19, that the dreams follow the mouth. The import of a dream depends on the interpretation given to it, so we look at these things with a very positive light. I know people who take, I'm not telling you that this is what you should do, but who aren't into fish heads. They take gummies of fish, and they cut off the tail, and they just have the head. You know what I'm talking about? Different colors. All right, doesn't matter. What do we mean when we say this, for those of you who actually have fish heads or ram heads? So why do we ask for L'Rosh V'lo L'Zanav, again, Rav Druk on the Machzor, and not as the tail, rather than simply asking to be Rosh V'lo L'Zanav, the head and not the tail? And obviously, for the head, we can't be the tail. You can't be the head and the tail at the same time. You have to choose one. So he brings, we'll just do this very briefly, it's in English 21 through 23, where he says, in Parshat Bechukosai, we find another puzzling blessing. I place my sanctuary among you, my spirit will not be disgusted by you. So the Ramban asks, well, if Hashem's going to find his sanctuary among you, obviously he's not going to be disgusted by you. Again, what's the connection between the two? So he quotes his father, Mordechai Drokothal, who explains the statement the Torah is teaching us there's no neutral when it comes to spirituality. There are only two settings in that regard. Either a person is lofty as the head and worthy if I would place my sanctuary among you, or the opposite. There's no setting for the interim level, because unless a person is driving for and growing toward the highest possible level, he's liable to fall to the lowest of depth to the point that he can reach a terrible state that Hashem will, God forbid, be disgusted with him. A person might think to himself of an average mediocre Jew. True, he doesn't merit the Shechina's presence, but he also has to reach the point where Hashem is disgusted with him. This is the type of thinking the Torah seeks to dispel. And here the Torah is emphasizing that in Avodas Hashem's spirituality, there's no neutral. Either you're a head or you're a tail. Either you're above or you're below. Do not make the mistake of thinking that even if you're not above as a head, it's fine to be just a good Jew without aspiration for greatness. No. Mediocrity has no place. If you will not be, or at least aspire to be above, and to move upward all the time, you're automatically poised to fall very low and become the tail. And again, when we understand, we walk into Rosh Hashanah night of Yom HaZikaron, of how much responsibility and accountability are fallen on us, there is no room for mediocrity. And we daven, Hashem, help us, Sheniyeh L'Rosh V'lo L'Zanav. Help us achieve the highest of levels and not to fall to the lowest. We need the Ribbono Shel Olam's help, but at least we need to aspire to reach that level. When we understand that the night is about asking Hashem for this help, and there has to be that she'ifa, that desire, right? We just can't sit and say, oh, let's have apples and honey. Dip the apple in the honey, right, and sing the apple honey song, whatever it is, and chal in the honey, and oh, these simanim are so nice. No, these simanim are tefillos. These simanim are our direction of where we want to go. It's like setting the stage for the coming year. And we know that everything that we do during these 48 hours is planting the seeds for the year. So when I say I want to be ahead, it's not just I want to be ahead. I want to be able to have that desire to always be a Rosh, to strive for greatness in my Avodas Hashem. Now let's get back to the pomegranate and rubia, black-eyed peas, whatever they're called. When eating both the rubia and the pomegranate, we ask that our merits increase. As noted above, Rav Shlomo Kluger explains that the simanim mentioned in Gemara and Shulchan Aruch are eaten as not as a form of prayer, but rather as an expression of amuna and bitachon. For by eating them, we show we believe this will indeed happen. So how can I ask to be increased? This is a bitachon, Hashem. I really believe that this will happen this year. Again, L'Rosh, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to set myself up. And he brings here that in Rosh Hashanah, and Rav Peterman has a whole piece on this as well, a person should be joyous and declare that everything Hashem does is for the good. This will cause things to be truly transformed into good. That, he says, is the basis for the custom to eat good sweet foods and recite the accompanying supplications. If anything has been decreed upon the person, his declaration will transform it into something positive. I really believe, this is my emunah, that things will be good. Whatever is going on, it will be good. I will have a year of increased merit. It's that aspect of belief that indeed this will happen. Okay, my friends, so we have level number one. Let's move a little bit faster here. Level number one is, what is Rosh Hashanah about? It's about Malchios Hashem, that Hashem is the king, and that every single one of our actions is being judged to what extent we have made Hashem king in our life. That I have smiled at this person, that I brought Kvod Shemayim into this world. Every action we have is measured according to who I am, the Kelim Hashem has given me, as well as where do I fit in the collective view from the beginning of time until the end of time. Hashem judges everything. From where do I learn this idea that Hashem judges everything and is watching everything? Zecher, Litziat Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim taught me this. Now I have to live this with that realization, the Yom HaZikaron, that realization. Everything is remembered. Second idea. This is the Darash David, Rav David Hofstadter, founder of Dirshim. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Yud Aleph Amin Aleph says, Rosh Hashanah, Sarah, Rachel, and Chana will remember. And Rosh Hashanah, Yosef emerged from prison. And Rosh Hashanah, our forefathers' enslavement in Egypt was terminated. And we alluded to this beforehand. It's curious that Raisa quoted above enumerates only these five events as having taken place on Rosh Hashanah. We know that Hashem's judgment is passed on all creations. Why are these five things mentioned? So he brings here the idea of the Brisker Rav, that a person cannot possibly be granted a favorable verdict in 27 in the judge on Rosh Hashanah, the underline, unless he is filled with fear and dread of the judgment, and recognize that Hashem himself is the only hope for salvation. Only someone who masters that attitude will benefit from Hashem's miraculous aid. And we know, the Rosh Hashanah, the more a person humbles himself, the better one is. The purpose of the shofar blast, known as the trua, is to instill fear and trembling in the person's heart. We suggest that the centrality of the theme of fear in Rosh Hashanah can be explained on the following. Rosh Hashanah, Hashem's attribute of judgment, is enforced to the point that even the angels are filled with fear and trepidation. We say, L'David Hashem Ori, Hashem is my light and my salvation, from whom should I be afraid? Hashem is the stronghold of my life, for whom should I fear? The message that in order to benefit from Hashem's salvation, a person must trust in Hashem and recognize that He is a source of salvation. Thus, the power of Rosh Hashanah 29 prayers stem from the supplicant's recognition that his only recourse, his only hope for salvation, is to rely completely and exclusively on Hashem, trusting in Him to bring about that salvation. A person must not put his faith in anything in the world other than Hashem's kindness, not even his own spiritual merit. And if he attains this recognition, he will find that he has davened a genuine, wholehearted prayer, one that stems from true humility, that has the ability to reach the Kisei HaKavod, and that prayer will not go unanswered. Here's the challenge, my friends. You know, there's a Maaser of a person, a Kollel, a younger man, whose family was growing, living in a small apartment. He went to his Rosh Kollel and says, what should I do? I don't really want to borrow money. Should we just, you know, stay in this apartment? We've totally outgrown it. So Rosh Kollel says, I can't tell you really to borrow money if you have no plan to return it. And I can't tell you to stay in this apartment. It's so hard. What I can tell you to do is to go to the Kotel and daven. So he goes to the Kotel, and he has such a heartfelt tefillah, Hashem, I just can't, we can't live in this. You know, like 10 kids in a two-bedroom apartment. It's not going to work. And he davens and davens and davens. And when he finishes, he gets a tap on the shoulder, and a well-dressed man turns to him and says, I see that you're davening with such sincerity. You know, how can I help you? And he tells him the situation, and he writes him out a check to cover his expenses. And back to Rescolo and tells him what happened. So another younger man in the same position hears the same thing, and he decides he's going to go to the hotel, and he's davening and davening, he's waiting for that tap on the shoulder. And at some point, he gets a tap on the shoulder, and he looks over, and it's a beggar who's wants money. He gives him the money, and he continues davening, waiting for the tap on the shoulder. It never happened. Goes back to the Rescolo and says, hey, what happened? This other guy got a tap on the shoulder again. He said, the difference is he was davening to Hashem. You were davening for a tap on the shoulder. You were davening for a tap on the shoulder. You got a tap on the shoulder. It was a beggar, right? It's not about you think that you can, you know, fix the situation. You have to daven to the Ribono Shel Olam that he is the only one. And you don't have to give suggestions. Ribono Shel Olam has the most incredible ways of dealing with things that we never even thought of. But we have to realize it's up to the Ribono Shel Olam. Ein ami li she'ein ela avinu shebashamayim. And this is what all five things have in common. Where these imahos understood that they could only rely on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The same thing by Yosef HaTzadik, when he tried to rely on the Sar HaMashkim, he landed in prison for 2 years longer. He also understood, my only recourse is Hashem. And that as well, it's how Rav Itzala of Volozhin explains that when the Pasuk says it happened during these many days, the king of Egypt died, Ebenezer so moaned from the work and cried out, and the cries out went up before Hashem. Why was it only after Paro died that they says Rav Itzala of Volozhin, while Paro was alive, they really believed that only this Paro was going to give them problems. When he would die and the new Paro would come, there would be a new world order, we don't have to worry. So they were really relying on political means, and they didn't really, you know, call out to Hashem. But when that Paro died, and the new Paro came, and he was just as bad, oh my gosh, we can't rely on anything but the Ribono Shel Olam. And then their heartfelt tefillos were heartfelt. And they realized that only Hashem was able to save them. Recognizing beyond a doubt that they have nowhere else to turn for salvation, the message is clear. The key to the efficiency of our Rosh Hashanah prayers is to stand before Hashem with this very same recognition that only He and no other being or power in the world can save us. And that the proper way for a person to approach the Davening Rosh Hashanah is to entertain absolutely no hope of being saved or helped in any way by other human beings. A person must recognize that all of his needs will be provided only by Hashem himself, the great king who sits in judgment on this day, apportioning life to every creature in the world. And when a person prays to Hashem with true recognition of the depth of his need, then Hashem will have mercy on him. What is Zecher Letziat Mitzrayim? It reminds us, as we saw, of Yosef being freed and Klai Yisrael being freed. It's about recognizing that only when they put their full hope in the Ribono Shel Olam, they were freed. So the idea of Rosh Hashanah, Zecher Letziat Mitzrayim, on the first level is to realize that there's a Yom HaZikaron and accountability in front of the Ribono Shel Olam. The second idea is that when we're davening to Hashem, it can't be that I have in my back pocket, well, it could be A, B, or C, also will work. So God, if you don't pull through, don't worry, I have my backup plan. No. On Rosh Hashanah, it's that humility of the shofar where I have nothing. I'm only in your hands. There is no other recourse. Not a doctor, not a shadchan, not a financial planner, nothing but you, Ribono Shel Olam. And this total reliance on the Ribono Shel Olam and stepping out of the picture, that broken shofar, is what we need to understand, that bent over shofar, where I need to be bent over and not walk in with this haughtiness. That when we stand by Tkiyah Shofar, it has to be this brokenness of spirit of Hashem, I have nowhere else to go, only you. You are my only recourse. I enter into the Kodesh Kedoshim of my heart, and I take away all external aspects. It's only about you, Ribono Shel Olam. You are my only salvation. This idea of recognizing that we are not in control and that it's all about Ribono Shel Olam helps us understand, back to Rav Druk, about Katvenu B'Sefer Zchuyos and Shiyurbu Zchuyotenu. He says, A second idea, a person's actions can amass varying levels of merit for him. To illustrate, let's say a person records a Torah shir and posts it to a forum, such as Kol Halacha, so that others can hear it. From that point on, what happens to the shir is not in his hands. It's possible that no one will listen to the shir. It's possible thousands of people hear it, in which case he will amass enormous merit. A person drops money on the floor. It can go into the sewer and nobody gets it. Or somebody can, you know, take the money and buy their, you know, breakfast and, you know, give themselves energy for the day and do many mitzvahs. We are not in control. We can do whatever mitzvahs we do, but the full implication and impact of what we do, that is in the Ribono Shel Olam's hand. And that's the idea, Hashem. It's not like I'm even controlling my mitzvahs, right? You know, I can appreciate this. I see this on some of the websites that I'm on, that depending on the title, that's where you're going to. The great one this year was the notable nuns for Vayibin So'arot, where I think many people thought it was notable nuns. And it got a lot of hits, right? So we're not in control. Who listens? How many people listen? What effect we have? And anything we say or do, what effect we have is beyond us. So we say, Hashem, I'm doing these mitzvahs. Whatever it is, I'm helping somebody out, I'm giving stuff. Will it impact, will it, you know, grow into the effect that it could possibly grow into, or will it just be a dead-end mitzvah? That's in your hands, Hashem. Katveinu b'sefer zchuyos, shirbu zchuyoteinu. Ribono shel Olam, I recognize that I can do what I can do, and the rest is up to you. Which leads us, my friends, now to the third, and perhaps the most powerful and profound. So if you stayed with me until now, you're in for a very special treat, in my humble opinion. This idea of being completely in the Ribono Shel Olam's hands explains, notes the Be'er HaChaim in Source 34a, Sha'av ein zeh ra'oi l'itpalel rak al ruchnius bovad, There's a Zohar Kadosh that speaks about that you shouldn't be on Rosh Hashanah like a dog, you know, barking, have, have, give me, give me. And there's this idea that you shouldn't ask for your physical needs in Rosh Hashanah. So as Rabbi Ram brings down here, that could lead to kfira. It could lead to Hashem, for my spirituality, I need your help. But for my physical needs, I can handle that myself, I don't need to daven for you. No, that's why it's important to daven for Banai, Chayim, Zodai, my children, my food, my livelihood, my life, because it's totally in your hands, Hashem. And davening for that is a recognition that we're in your hands. And we know the Chazon Ish in 35 has a ruling that it's in fact permissible to make personal requests in Rosh Hashanah since the day itself was established for a time of supplication. And at the end of the Sesei, the Darash David brings down four different approaches of how it is, in what context is it permissible to daven for personal requests. The Gro indicates we may utter such a prayer during supplication at the end of the Amidah, which is Elokim Yishur. This implies that one may pray for one's needs at other times during the day as well, and one is prescribed from doing so only during the Amidah. Second, the Achronim indicate making personal requests is considered only inappropriate when prays for oneself. If you pray for the Kalal, it's okay. The Yaros Dvash, so a person prays for his needs to be provided, they can serve Hashem properly, that's okay. And the asking itself brings you closeness to Hashem, which is the goal of the day, which is also permissible. Be that as it may, and as the Matan Chaim points out, we do ask for personal requests. We have it in two lines. After a whole introduction of Hashem ruled over the whole world, we say at 36 in the asterisk, we say, Hashem, Kachenu b'mitzvosecha, sanctify us in your mitzvos, v'tein chokenu b'sarsecha, give us a portion in your Torah. That's all of our requests for Ruchnias. And our request for Gashmias, physicality, sabenu mituvecha, satisfy us with your goodness, v'samcheni b'shuasecha, and allow us to rejoice in your salvation. And then we end, v'tarli b'nu love to chabemes, that we should serve you with purity of heart. That's everything we ask for, that we should have this salvation. Be that as it may, my friend. Rosh Hashanah is a time whether it's an Elokeinitzor, whether it's an Avinu Malkeinu, whether it's when we open the Torah, it's a gewaltig time for davening when we take out the Torah, whether it's Birkas Kohanim. There are times that are built in to really daven for one's personal needs. Again, having in mind all those that one knows that needs these needs. The mindset of Rosh Hashanah has to be, Hashem is the only one who can answer me, and today is the day where my tefillah is planting seeds for the entire year. That's why Rabbi Niran brings down, when one makes a request, let's say an Ava Rabba, my eyes should be lit up to your Torah, all these requests. So normally it's just for that day. Here, it's for the entire year. Likewise, in benching, right? We all have a suda on Rosh Hashanah more than once. Harachaman yufarsenu b'chavot. All the harachaman. He should support us with honor. That harachaman. Stop. Bench. We have throughout our day opportunities to daven to Hashem. It's not just in the Amidah. And we know there's an idea to say the entire Sefer Tehillim each day of Rosh Hashanah. 150 chapters, 2 times 150 each day is 300, which is the numerical value of kaper, to forgive. And as the Gra says, even if it's not in Shmoneh Esrei, and obviously a woman, even if she's not in shul, has the obligation to daven Shmoneh Esrei, but throughout the day, daven to Hashem. And throughout the day, just implore and beg. Don't think that it's only, you know, in davening time that I can daven. No. Throughout my day, whether it's in Birkas Hamasa, whether it's in Tehillim, whether it's just stop playing with your kids and daven. This is a day to just knock down the doors and to daven. This is the day where whatever we do is setting the pace for the entire year. All of our thoughts, our actions, our speech, everything we request today is for the entire year. And that explains the idea we've done many times. A Katvein B'Sefer Zechuyo, source number 48, Rav Masisyahu Salomon, Rav Daniel Mushkovitz of Kelm, that I'm not asking for merit if I haven't done it. What I'm asking for is opportunities to do merit. Shirbuz Chiyotenu, when we have the pomegranate, it is that I, right, how many more seeds can you put in that pomegranate, right? That I should have opportunities like the seeds in the pomegranate to be able to serve you, Hashem. And these are the malachi rachamim that will change our judgment. And that's what we have to understand. So when I stand in Rosh Hashanah and I say in Avinu Malkeinu, whenever I say Avinu Malkeinu, Katvenu b'sefer zchuyos, write me in the book of merit. It means, Hashem, I just want to be close to you. Hashem, I just want to have opportunities to grow. L'rosh v'lolo zanav, I just want, please, please give me. I'm setting the standard for the entire year. Now here comes the punchline, my friends. And I want us to listen very closely. Because this is why you sat through this whole shiur. For this next two ideas. Hold on tight. If Rosh Hashanah is setting the stage for the entire year, and we know that Hashem is the only recourse and there's nowhere else to go, and Hashem is listening and is intimately involved in every one of my speech, thoughts, and action, and He's mazi, He listens closely to the call of my heart, and he's shomea tefillah, He listens to my tefillah, then we have to appreciate the power of our davening. And again, as Rav Asisya, as Rav Viderim points out in 38, that the Drashur Gaon brings down that Shamechavim b'piyur Adon Olam, if you have Kavana and Adon Olam, there's a guarantee your tefillah will be answered. Like really focused on all of your davening from the beginning. Adon Olam is where it's at. Adon Olam is Shirolam, but there I'm going to sing right. Focus. Focus in on Psukim Simra. Don't just focus in on Shmoneh Esrei. Really recognize from the beginning every line is precious, it's jewels, it's connection, it's tefillah. Really focus in. And again, whatever age and stage you are in life, whether you get to shul, you don't get to shul, what you can do, you can sing Adon Olam with your kids all day. Recognizing the ability to just focus on every tefillah, even the most common ones for us, is connection. Now here are the ideas. There's a Sforno. I had never met this Sforno before, and it blew my mind. The Sforno says in Vatitzchak, Sarah and Sarah laughed. She thought that the angel's words were only akin to the blessing of a prophet, similar to the episode of Elisha, not a prophecy sent by God, the Blessed One. She thought that since they were both old, even if a prophet should bless them, it was unattainable. Such a rejuvenation, given their old age, would be like the revival of the dead, which could only be accomplished through the command of God Himself or through prayer, which would find special favor with them. Notes from Biederman on this Sforno. You imagine if I were to tell you that in your, you know, downstairs basement of your shul, there was going to be a malach, a navi, who was going to bench you. Would you line up to get a bracha? Of course you would. And now we see from this Sforno that there's something that's even higher than the bracha of a navi. She's laughing. I think this is the bracha of a navi. It may happen, it may not. A direct command from Hashem or a tefillah that finds chayin, that finds favor in the eyes of Hashem, has the ability of tchiyas hameitim, of revival of the dead. Do we recognize the power of our tefillah? Now let's take this one step further, my friends, with the time we don't have. The Be'er HaChaim quotes the Arvei Nacham. We know there was a Brisbane of Sarim in 44. There was a Brisbane of Sarim where Hashem says that we are going to be in Gullus for 400 years. We weren't in Gullus 400 years. We were in Gullus 210 years. Ah, there was a Gzeira that we were going to be in Gullus for 400 years. What happened? What happened was we davened. Ah, but there was a gzeira. There was a decree. Listen closely. Umikan shekeinu in the asterisk ritzon mitchila. Hashem builds into every gzeira. Be'ed ha'gzar din at the time of the gzeira. Shayadei ha'tza'aka through screaming out. Yishtana dino. You can change the decree. That even if there's a decree, it can be changed through the power of tefillah. And that's what Klai Yisrael did. Vatal shavasam elokim. The cries went up to Hashem. And now I understand why Rosh Hashanah is Zecher L'Tziyat Mitzrayim. Laskir Inyat Mitzrayim Kedei La'orera Ta'adam, double squiggly, to awaken us. Leval Yitja'esh M'levake Shrachamim, don't stop from asking V'tachnunim and beseeching the Hajj, that just like Klai Yisrael were able to change the Gzar Din and Mitzrayim and bring the salvation closer, because nothing stands in the way of tefillah. Likewise, in our own life, we're able to Larkia Shefshar Larkia Shechukim Uvatel Kocham Shokol Mekatrugim Amistanim, and we have the ability to change the forces of the negative decrees and turn them into something positive. Hence the challah, the apples in honey. Honey is something that comes from a bee, which is tame. We can turn something tame into something that we eat. This is the ability, lafoch et tara l'tova. We have the ability of transformation. That's what a honey represents. And that's what tefillah represents. And that's Zecher L'Tziyat Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim becomes a paradigm of the power of tefillah, of changing a gzeira, of bringing the shibud to a shorter end. We have that ability. So when we say Zecher L'Tziyat Mitzrayim, in our davening, we should stop and contemplate. One, Hashem is watching over us. It's a Yom HaZikaron. Realize the implication of that. Idea number two, there is no one to turn to. That's what Yosef HaTzadik and the Jews recognize. No political means. The only recourse we have is not a tap on the shoulder. It's only the Ribono Shel Olam. And recognize that Rosh Hashanah Tfilas have this ability to shake the heavens, to have. And that's what's built into the Gzeira, that even if there's a decree, Rosh Hashanah has the ability to be that tefillah, that Hashem will be able to listen to our supplication and really create tchiyas hameitim mamish, resurrection, and be able to turn any Gzeira of ra, of negativity, l'tova. We should all be benched, that our tefillahs should be answered, l'tova, and that we should have not only a Shana Tova, but a year that we could feel that goodness, a Shana Tova, umetukah.